Revelation chapter number 2, and let's stand together. We're going to read 3 verses and then we'll be seated. Revelation chapter number 2 and verse number 8. The Bible says in Revelation 2 and verse 8, and unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive, I know thy works, and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. And here's what I want you to notice. Be thou faithful unto death. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. And so I just want to preach tonight about being faithful unto death. It's bittersweet to lose a loved one. But boy, when they're saved, you know they're in heaven, you're almost jealous that they get to go to that place ahead of you. But it sure is a blessing when you get to say goodbye to somebody and you could say, you know what, they were faithful unto death. And we did that to Brother Alan Snyder because, in fact, he was in church that Sunday and went home to be with the Lord that night. And so we did it again this week. But it's one thing to say that they were faithful unto death, but we have to do what it takes so that somebody can say that about us one day. So I want to preach the message the Lord laid on my heart. Let's pray. Lord, would you help us tonight to see the truth that you've given me from your word. Help us to be mindful of these areas that would cause us to not be faithful at the hour of our death. Help us, I pray. Well, thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. In our passage there, Revelation chapter number 2, God is attempting to challenge and to correct these local churches in that day, 2,000 years ago. There was a church at Ephesus, the church in Pergamos, the church in Thyatira, the church in Sardis, the church in Philadelphia, the church of the Laodiceans, and what we just read in our passage, the church at Smyrna. Now, though God was dealing with real issues in the churches of that day 2,000 years ago, these letters also serve as admonition and encouragement to our church today, to Trinity Baptist Church, our church family. The Lord tells the people of the church at Smyrna that they were going to face much persecution and that in their life they would have many trials, but that they should focus on being faithful unto death. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to die faithful. I don't want one day for my kids to, for me to be in a casket and my kids to say, you know, Dad was a preacher but he got out of church and spent the last, couple of decades of his life doing things we had never seen Dad do before. By the way, don't think that you're not capable of going to that kind of life before you die. I want my kids to be able to say, hey, Dad died faithful. Saying about Brother Shuford, of course, this week, and he came to church last Sunday morning, and he sat in his Sunday school class like always, and he played the mandolin in church like always, and was in church all day on Sunday like always, and before we could meet again on Wednesday, he was in the presence of Jesus. And we all are a witness to the fact that Brother Shuford was faithful unto death. My question to you tonight is, will you be? Will you be? We all want to, right? Look at Acts chapter 20 with me, if you would. I'm gonna read something else quickly here, but in Acts chapter 20, I want to go there in just a second. But we would all say tonight, we all realize reading our Bible, the Apostle Paul was faithful unto death. The Bible says, and by the way, he had every reason in the world to quit at times. But he said, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 4, verse 6, Paul said, for I am now ready to be offered. By the way, if we're going to die faithful, we're going to have to live faithful because we never know when the moment of our death is going to come. So we're going to have to make sure we're ready, not just salvation, but living for God as we ought to. He said, I'm ready. He said, I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And Paul was beheaded for the gospel because he preached the gospel, took a stand for Christ. But Paul was faithful unto death, but I want you to notice in Acts 20 that the reason Paul was faithful unto death, don't miss this, was because he planned on it, he worked on it, and he would not allow anyone or anything to cause him to quit on his Savior. You don't just look up at 20 years old and say, I'm going to be faithful unto death, bless God, no matter what, I guarantee you, No, you're going to go through a lot of trials and a lot of problems and a lot of battles and some letdowns. And there are going to be people problems in life. And there's going to be every reason in the world why you could quit on God before the day of your death. Not good reasons why you should, but there'll be opportunity that you could quit on God. And Paul said this in Acts 20 to the elders at the church at Ephesus. He said this in verse 22. He said, "And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." He said, I'm hearing that I've got a lot of trouble laying ahead of me. But look what he says in verse 24. "But none of these things move me." I like that. We ought to just decide tonight, there's not going to be anything that I like get my family out of church. There's nothing that's going to, in my life that can come that's going to cause me to turn my back on my Savior. I'm not going back to the world. The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. So Paul says, "But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself." Why? He said, "So that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." So Paul said, "I'm not quitting." And at the end of his life, he said, "I didn't quit. I'm ready. I'm ready to go home to be with the Lord. I'm ready to see Jesus. The time of my departure is at hand. And I'm ready." And Paul died faithful because long ago he said, "You know, I know there are going to be trials. There already have been trials and there have been battles and there have been setbacks." But he said, "None of these things moved me." He said, "I died to myself." He said, "I died daily." He said, "I died to myself a long time ago. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." And he said, "I'm not going to allow circumstances of this world to cause me to be unfaithful to my Savior." Now, I don't know about you, but I want to finish my course, and I want to finish my course with joy. I want to keep growing and learning and confessing sin and getting knocked down but getting back up and getting discouraged but finding a way to get encouraged again and serving my Savior until he calls me home. Look at 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. I'll give you a moment because I really want you to see this. 2 Peter chapter number 1. The Bible tells us here in this chapter, it talks about adding to your faith and growing in the Lord. And the reason for that, one of the reasons for that is found in verse number 10. 2 Peter 1 and verse number 10. He says, "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence." That means constant effort. That means on purpose. Listen, you're not going to live for God on accident. You're not going to read your Bible tomorrow on accident. You're not going to pray on accident. You're not going to raise your kids to love God on accident. You're not going to have a good, godly, happy marriage on accident. You're not going to die faithful one day on accident. He says you need to grow in your Christian life, as we talked about this morning. And he says you need to give diligence. It takes effort. It's got to be done on purpose. "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure." Listen to this. "For if you do these things, you shall never fall." He says, if you will focus on your walk with God, if you'll focus on the "as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." If you will focus on what God's done in your life and focus on living for Him, he says, you'll never fall. You won't look up one day and be out of church or be out of the will of God. But look at what else it says in verse 11. It says, all right, so we're going to grow as a Christian, and we're going to give constant effort to our Christian life. We're not going to allow ourselves to backslide and start missing this service and that service. And the next thing you know, we miss a tithe check. And the next thing you know, we're dropping our standards a little bit. The next thing you know, we're letting the kids go with the cousins to places that we said we wouldn't. That's a rule for our house. But you know, there was enough pressure, and they're churchy too. And so there was enough pressure, we gave in. No, what we have to do is we have to live our Christian life on purpose. And by the way, by principle, not by pressure. And he says, if we'll grow in the Lord and we'll keep adding to our faith and on purpose live for God, he says, you won't fall. But then he says in verse 11, "For so an entrance," we're talking about getting into heaven, not salvation, but hey, here they are. "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. An entrance ministered unto you abundantly. In other words, entry into heaven supplied in a big way, like this. I remember when Sarah went to college, and boy, we missed her. The first time that I went to see her was about a month after she had been there. I was up at Brother Fugit's conference, and I drove down to Tennessee there, and I'll never forget Sarah walking in. And if you've ever been, some of you have been with us at out at Crown, the they call it the Grand Hall, Great Hall, or something. There is a big room that they have like car shows in. Well, her salon sits over in the corner, and the lunchroom sits on that side. And I showed up a little bit early, and I'm just kicked back on the couch at the salon. And Sarah comes out of there, and she's like, "Daddy!" And I mean, just cried like a little girl, "Daddy!" You know, I'd miss me too, you know. And so, but she just cried like a little, and all her friends, you girls, all her friends, like, "Aw, aw." And she was firing up. Now, you know what the Bible says in 1 John 2:28? It says, "Little children, abide in Him, that we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." Now He's coming for us one of two ways. He's coming for us corporately, which I wish He'd just go ahead and do. We're either going corporately, collectively at the rapture, or He's coming for us like He did Brother Schuford this week, individually. What I don't want is Him to find some drunk me that used to be a faithful Christian. What I don't want is to turn my back on the Lord. I want, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly." There He is. There He is. That's what it's talking about. Is rather than, "Well, I mean, He was saved. Here He comes." And us be ashamed because we thought the world was more important than God. We thought our job was more important than doing something for God in this life, even though He created us not to work our job, but to do something for Him. We're created for His good pleasure, according to Revelation chapter 4. So that's what it's talking about there. It's just like Sarah sees dad's like, "Yeah, dad, hey, you know, there's my little girl, and I'm excited about it." And that's what it's talking about, is getting to heaven one day, and it basically, they're being in a cheering section instead of just a, "Let them in." You say, "Either way, I'm getting to heaven." Yeah, but you know what? The Bible says we will stand ashamed before Him at His appearing. I don't know about you. I want to die faithful. So how can you and I assure ourselves that we will be faithful unto death? Well, we're going to have to beware of some things. To beware is to guard oneself. To regard with caution. To restrain oneself from anything that may be dangerous. You say they mock us. Well, they don't let their kid, and they don't do this, and they don't do that. And that's not in the Bible. And listen, moron. It does not have to be "thou shalt not" and "do not do this." It is what's safe for my marriage. It's what's safe for my kids. It's what, if I choose to stay way over here, you can call me whatever you want to call me. I'm just trying to honor God, keep myself safe, keep my family safe, raise kids, love God, have a wife that loves God, have a marriage that honors God, and I don't answer to any man about whether or not they think I'm too extreme. Can we be too holy?
No.
He didn't say, "Hey, be ye pretty good, because I'm pretty good." He said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy."
Amen.
Beware. We have to beware. Here's how the Bible puts it. It's in Ephesians chapter number 5. The Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools." Don't live a foolish life. "But as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." The word circumspectly means cautiously. "See then that you walk cautiously." If you were walking in snake country, some of us have hunted out in the grasslands out there in Decatur. Brother Caleb's hunting fish out there. As he was growing up, he lived out there. And some of us have been out there before. And friend, listen, when I know it's rattlesnake country, I'm walking cautiously. I'm not just trampling around every stone and every little hole in the ground, buddy. I'm watching, and I want to make sure I'm careful. And God says in our Christian life, we have to be cautious. By the way, the devil, the roaring lion, roameth about seeking whom he may devour. Walk circumspectly. That means cautiously. That means with watchfulness every way. With attention to guard against surprise or danger. Surprise or danger. Surprise. Pastor, I never thought, I never meant for it to get to here. Well, none of us ever do. To walk circumspectly is to be mindful of the potential consequences to every decision that we make. I preached a message years ago, and I think I'll find it and preach it again. It's been a long time. On how a full pew becomes an empty pew. How a full pew, because now we've lost a few lately for different reasons. When we added the pews, we added 50 seats, so we've added a lot of seating. We have people out sick, of course, today. I want to fill these pews up and then figure out what in the world we're going to do next. And by the way, there's always something else to do. And we could have a teen church out in the gym. We could do whatever it takes for a while. And by the way, when we built the gym bigger than this auditorium. This could make a pretty good gym if it had to be. My wife will fight me on it. My babies were baptized there. We were married there. You can't give me that wood from that platform. Don't you dare. You think I'm joking. We have a bench on our deck at home that she sat on in children's church. It's still there. How come good families get out of church? What happens? I want to give you three areas tonight. Three areas that the Bible gives us where we need to beware. Young people, I want you to listen to. Adults, listen tonight. If you and I are going to be faithful unto death, watch out for these three areas. And they're really three totally different areas, but I just believe that God gave me these three for a reason tonight, so I hope that it helps. Beware. All right, number one is this. Beware that you don't fall for some false teaching. Beware that you don't fall for some false teaching. Now, false teachers have been around since the Bible days, right? False prophets, the prophets of Baal, the Old Testament. But I'm telling you what, now you can get online and anything, anybody with a Bible, you think, well, I'll tell you, this must be Bible truth. Now we've started replacing the Bible because we've got our tablets and we got our phone. And I just say to you, I don't think anything ought to replace your Bible. You may read your daily devotions on your phone. You may be a computer person. And I don't know. There's just something about your kids can't tell if you're playing on Facebook or if you're reading your Bible. There's just something about, I just think we need, these computers are crashing. They're hacking systems. You could just see where things are headed. We need to know our Bible, not our app. I've got a Bible app. Well, it's good to find quick scriptures and things that you're thinking of. But we need to have that Bible open. But I'm so worried today that's why I like old missionary Spencer Smith. Man, he is calling it out online. We support him. He calls things out online. But there is so much out there today. Blogs and podcasts and all of this stuff. Now, there have been good families led astray by false teaching. Good families. I was talking to a preacher not long ago, and he had one of his deacons that during the virus got out of church and has gone into this contemporary junk because he started watching a video and reading on someone's blog about what's wrong with the King James Bible and it just totally threw it all away. And I'm saying to you, be careful what you read. Be careful who you follow online. Be careful who you connect with on social media. They may think it's cute to rally together against fundamentalism and criticize all the standards, but buddy, if you're fighting against a local church, you're fighting against God. Amen. And stop and think for a moment. Stop and think for a moment. Who really cares about your family? The person that was there praying when your kid was born? The person that stood at the altar with you when you got saved? The person that baptized your child? The person that stood here and went through your wedding vows and went through I've got pre-marriage counseling this week with Chris and Jasmine Tuesday night and Trent and Sarah. Man, he's already starting to glow. And we've got it another night this week. Who cares about you? Or some stinking guy selling t-shirts and hats with a headphone on? You think he cares? Why are they making merchandise of you? Stop selling outfits. Just preach your truth.
Amen.
Well, they just do that to control you. You need to check people's fruit. Because any sissy can get online and create some blog, create some video and tug it. You young adults, and you start thinking, well, maybe we are, man. Maybe we are in a church that's just, listen, pay attention to the fruit. I beg you. I beg you, pay attention to the fruit in your life before you start listening to the criticisms and the, well, they're extreme here. I'd rather be too extreme for God than to turn to the world.
That's good.
Beware that you don't fall for some false teaching. Let's look at some scripture. You go to Colossians 2. I'm going to read you something out of Matthew 7 real quick. I just have three here tonight. Matthew chapter number 7. You know, it's okay to hear something and then ask questions and try to get some clarification. That is perfectly fine, and you should. You should. Pay attention to how many of these bloggers, now I'm not against all of them, but pay attention to how many of them actually crack a Bible open. It's real easy to sit there and dissect the men of God and criticize, well, he made this off-color joke. All right, well, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. Sometimes we're going to say something stupid we shouldn't have said, and our wife will remind us that night. Did you not see me? Part of life. This pastor makes a joke about, why are you even watching that stuff? Man of God's praying and studying and preparing and preaching and trying to help you, and your Sunday school teacher's trying to help you, and you got some. We're here today, and thank you for joining us. Hey, please support us and buy our t-shirts. And let me just tell you what's wrong with this church. Guess what they did yesterday? Let me tell you what's wrong with this pastor. He's against every other version of the Bible, but he misquoted the King James because he missed a word. They're sitting in the seat of the scornful. The Bible says this in Matthew 7 and verse 15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Over in Colossians, you would turn there to Colossians chapter number 2. The Bible says this in verse number 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Remember this morning, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving, growing in the Lord. Beware, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you, that is to corrupt, to ruin, to render useless. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Listen to what the Bible says in 2 Peter, and then we'll move to that second thought. I'm just going to read you one verse. We read it this morning, actually, in the other message. 2 Peter 3 and verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things, we're talking about how some will twist the scripture, seeing you know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own stead. Fastness. Young adults, listen, they're tugging at you. They're tugging at you. Well, I'll tell you what, you know, come on over here and do this and do that. And they're even telling you that, well, those preachers that stand up and still preach truth, and those preachers that are, they'll bark about because they're trying to control you. Now, again, you live your own life. I'm just preaching the Word of God. But you might want to check the fruit. Some of these people started off, I think, with the right motive of trying to get us to pay more attention to things that are wrong. I get a couple things, but I'm just telling you, be careful. You don't have to have the same standards I have. I don't have to have the same standards you have. We're judged by God. We stand before God, no doubt about that. But be careful about this crowd today. They're pulling, they're tugging, well, they're just too extreme. I think the cross of Calvary was pretty extreme. Beware that you don't fall for some false teaching. We have a lot of good families in our church. You older folks that have been in church a while, been in a Baptist church for a while, you're pretty established in your faith. You're not changing. But there are teenagers, there are young couples. If you're not careful today, you say, oh, no way. But be very, very careful who you connect with. Beware. Beware. Number two is this. This may pull in some adults. Definitely will pull in some teenagers. Second one is this. Beware that you don't live a fake life. I said this to the young people. I taught the young people a couple weeks ago, and I want to reiterate it. Maybe some of you were not here. Just because you know someone in church is fake doesn't mean everyone in church is fake. Just because you know someone in the youth department that comes in their suit and tie or their long dress and they come in, they're doing all this stuff, but then they're telling dirty jokes or they're using the wrong kind of language or they're doing this or doing that does not mean everyone does that. I believe there are some godly teenagers who truly love God, want to honor mom and dad, want to honor God, want to live for God. I would hate to know that there are parents that are hypocritical, that aren't living a right kind of life and then coming to church and living differently. But it's still, for all of us, there is never a license to live hypocritically. Amen. I've said it before. You've heard it several times over the years. Listen, moms and dads fight. We have arguments. That's what we did. That doesn't make your mom and dad hypocrites. We can have bad weeks. We can have a bad day. And you go, hey, my mom, she's all nice to everyone. And then she's like, rah, you know. Now, if that's 6 days a week, we got problems. If 6 days a week, everything is opposite of what church is, yes, we've got problems. But I said before, if we'll live the type of life God wants us to live as moms and dads, grandma and grandpa, I believe our kids are wise enough to give us a little bit of space when it comes to just having a rough day. But I tell you who doesn't make it. I tell you who doesn't die faithful, and that's those that choose to live a fake life. Turn to Matthew chapter number 16. Matthew chapter number 16. Some people think this. They think you just fake it till you make it. Well, the truth is you won't make it. Jesus said in Matthew 16 and verse number 5, and when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, how many baskets you took up, neither the 7 loaves? Look at verse 11. How is it that you did not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees, the doctrine, the teaching. One of the main doctrines or main teachings of the Pharisees is this: teach it, don't live it. We're not going there. Romans chapter 2, we just were in that a couple weeks ago, I think, for some reason. Matthew chapter, I think it's chapter 23, if I can read my handwriting here. But God gets on to him because he says, whatever they're telling you to do, do it, but don't do what they actually do because they're not living it. Are you listening to me, Sunday school teacher? Are you listening to me, bus worker? Are you listening to me, preacher? Are you listening to me, singer? Are you listening to me, soul winner? Fake it till you make it. It's not going to cut it. I'd rather just get completely right and get completely real and say, I'm going to be who I am and I'm going to take a stand for Christ. And I'm not a perfect man, but I'm going to strive to live for God every day of my life. Faithful unto death. One, we're going to have to beware that we don't fall for some false teaching. Two, we're going to have to decide, you know what? I'm not going to live a fake life. We're going to have to beware that we don't live a fake life. Let me give you the third one. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 6. I'm going to kind of work my way through this passage and then we're going to be done. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Could you imagine? We were at lunch today and Dad said, you know, there is such great potential in our church right now for growth. There's such great potential when you look around at all these young adults and these young couples and these whatever. But if you've been around a while, if we could just keep what we had in the last 5 years, we would already be finding what are we going to do next? We're going to buy that field. We're going to buy that field. Or we're going to, what are we going to do next? How are we going to? We've got to have more space. Those are good problems to have. So how is it that someone's like, you know, faithful and involved and whatever, then all of a sudden they're gone? One is they fall for some kind of false teaching. I can't believe how shallow some people are that they fall for people, some dude with headphones on. Instead of men of God that have helped them all their life. Why is it some people get out? Because some people just fake. They're just faking it. Period. Let me give you the third one. Because if false teaching's not going to do it, and every one of us in here tonight would say that false teaching's not going to do it. But we have to beware. We have to be cautious. We have to be mindful. Who am I talking to? Who am I reading? Who am I listening to? And so we tonight, none of us are going to say that, you know, I'm going to fall for false teaching. We're not going to do that. Probably in here tonight, there's some that are living fake and phony. And you know what I do tonight? I would get right with God. I would just get right with God. But I put this last one last because I think this is what's going to hit more people and get more people out of church than anything else. So number one, beware that you don't fall for some false teaching. That's the wrong people. Number two, beware that you don't live a fake life. That's wrong purpose. Number three is this. It's going to be wrong priorities. Beware that you don't forget God once He has opened doors for your life. Beware that you don't forget God once He has opened doors for your life. Well, Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me. I need a spouse. Pray for me. I need a spouse. Everybody else is getting married. I haven't gotten married yet. I need a spouse. Pray for me. All right. We're going to pray for you that God's will. God sends a spouse, bright spouse at the right time. And then somebody gets married. And you know, in my counseling, you know, point number one is this. Why marriages have trouble. Point number one is this. Because they get away from the Lord. Oh, wait a minute. You were just going to church to meet them? You were just going to church long enough to please their parents? This is why young adults and you young people that down the road are going to be getting married. Looking way down the road are going to be getting married. This is why you don't just any, mini, miny, mo. You don't just fall for the first person that shows you a little bit of attention. That may be God's will. But it's not a race to be married. It's not a game to have babies. It's not a race. It's not a game. We need the will of God for our life. But if you're not careful, you'll get someone who talks the talk, walks the walk long enough to take your hand in marriage. And then they won't give a rip about church once they're married. And then now what you've done to your parents is you've put their grandchildren in danger of never being raised in church. So beware that you don't forget God once He's opened doors for your life. Pastor, pray for us. I don't mean to just be on the 20-somethings here today, but you are at a vulnerable place in your life. Pastor, pray for us. We're really trying to figure out what our career is going to be. Pray for us. All right, I'm going to pray for you. Hey, Pastor, pray. I was talking to so-and-so today, and it sounds like I could go in this direction, and I can and I might be able to do this for a career. Hey, that's wonderful. That's great. 6 months down the road. Pastor, they're promoting me. Hey, that's wonderful. But I'm not going to be able to be here Wednesday night. Uh-oh. I get it. I get the firemen. We don't want houses to burn down on Sunday. We want the firemen to be there. I get police officers. Amen. There are certain places, certain jobs. But I'm going to tell you what. That's what happens. God begins to open doors. He gives you a spouse. He gives you a home. He gives you children. He's blessing your life. He's giving you a career. And now, that's why 1 Corinthians 7 says, the unmarried people care for the things of the Lord. Married people care for the things of their spouse. Now, you're supposed to care for the things of your spouse, but God wants you to attend upon Him, serve Him without distraction. So the headline on, some people may say, false teaching, got him. The headline on some people may say they were fake. They are fake. And they know they were fake. That's what got them out. The headline on some people is going to say, changed priorities. Look at it there in Deuteronomy chapter number 6. And I'm going to start in verse 1. Now these are the commandments. This is a good passage for your home. Now these are the commandments, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. All right? And it's on to the Hebrew children. But folks, we ought to be obedient to God and pass it down to our children and our grandchildren. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mighty as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. He was talking to them about Israel, but God wants to bless our life. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently on purpose unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. By the way, what kind of talk goes on in your house? And when thou walkest by the way, guess what? Hanging out with your kids, doing some work in the yard. That's a good time to teach them Bible principle. It's a good time. My kids will roll their eyes at me at somebody's, oh, here comes the preacher, you know, because Sarah come in like her daddy, you know, well, you know what the Bible says. Oh my goodness. And then I'll say, but I mean, I do that too, Sarah. And then Kelly will say, hey, no. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. They shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. God wants the word of God and talk about the things of God to be in our home. Unfortunately, in many homes, the word God is being used, but it's being used in foul language. Supposed Christian homes. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land. By the way, because this just came to mind. When those adults have those arguments, it still should not involve cussing. It shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not. Here it is, God's blessing us. Houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells dig which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord. And I'll leave off reading there. Beware. Pastor, pray for me. I need a job. You know what we ought to start doing? Saying, well, let me ask you a question. Is it going to take you out of church? Well, Pastor, pray for me because I need a job. Is it going to mean you can't go to the youth activity? Then I'm not praying for you to get that job. Pastor, pray for us. We want to have a child. Hey, that's great. I want you to have children if that's what God wants for your life. But if that child's going to cause you to make it all about that child, not about God, not about living for God, if you're not going to raise that child right, I'm not going to pray that God gives you a child to raise out of the will of God. Pastor, pray for us. We're trying to get a house, and we want this house, and this is the house we'd like to have. But if that over budgets you to where you're constantly missing church now, because now you've got to make that big old mortgage so you feel good about that place that you live, why would we pray for you to do something that's going to take you out of the will of God? And I've seen it. My dad's seen it in his time. A lot of people. There have been some. He had a youth pastor years ago that came from another state, worked for him, and got involved in some crazy teaching on something. And my dad had to get rid of the guy. I think he was redheaded. I forget his name, but got involved in some kind of teaching online and just kind of went nuts there at Lakeland and had to get the guy out of there. So it could happen to any of us if we're not careful. And if you're fake, I'm just telling you, God can't stand hypocrisy. That was part of the leaven of the Pharisees, the doctrine of the Pharisees that caught God's a generation of vipers. You tell people what to do, you're not even doing them yourself. But I tell you what, if that doesn't get us, you say, I'm real, I am who I am, great. And I know my Bible, no one's going to fool me, wonderful. But I tell you what, the devil will dangle some money out in front of you. The devil will dangle a spouse out in front of you. The devil will dangle a career out in front of you. Our first prayer needs to be, God, if this is your plan for my life, this is what I want. And if this is not your plan for my life, God, shut the door, because I do not want anything to take me out of the will of God. If you ever find yourself saying this, we're going to do this, we're going to do it, we're going to do it, we're going to do it, I'm sure there's a church somewhere, you're already starting wrong. You're already, we had a couple move out of state here not long ago, and thank God they wanted a church, but they waited until they moved and then called and said, "Preacher, do you know of a church anywhere in our area?" And I looked and I looked and I looked and I said, "I'll be honest with you. I've got a couple names here. I found a website. It says King James. You could try them out. I don't know the preachers. I don't know what to tell you. It's a lot easier when you say, you know what? Okay, if something happens where we do have to move because of health or career or whatever, we are not doing it unless there's the right kind of church. And let me just warn you, it's not that simple either. And I'm not just talking about to find the right kind of church. I'm talking about it's not always just about, well, there is another independent Baptist church. Think about the fact you're about to uproot your kids from the place where they're established. Now, I'm not talking to anyone in here. I don't know if anyone thinking about moving right now. Wait, I'm just warning you tonight, beware. I want one day, you know, if my funeral's here or wherever, y'all may dump me off the side of a bridge somewhere. I don't know what Joshua will do. "Dad, you make good bait. I'm going fishing with you." Bloop. I would rather the rapture just take place than for us to have to face a bunch of more deaths. And I don't know when my time comes, but I know this. I just wanted to say, "Dad died faithful. Dad died faithful." I want to look up in 10 years, and I want to see a bunch of more gray hairs. I want to see all these young adults that are now middle-aged, these teenagers that have now grown up in their group, and I want to look up and say, "Man, I'm so glad they're still in church. I'm so glad that Miss Kylie went away to Oklahoma and went to school and met a young man and police officer now and working tonight, or sleeping or whatever, police officer, getting a donut, Miss Kylie, and met a young man who loves the Lord, who wants his family in church, who wants Lainey in church, and I want to look up and they're on up there in their age saying they're still at it. And I want to look up and I want to see Trent and Sarah coming in, 5 or 6 kids, and Trent getting that dad belly, and I want to say, "Man, I'm glad they're still at it." And I know Brother Miss Holmes, they want to see that in their kids. We want to see Cameron one day coming in or wherever he goes. and want to say, "Hey, Cameron's still at it." And Miss Holmes, as she does now, she's just going to be beaming. Because her kids grew up to be adults who had kids, and her kids, her grandkids are still in church. You imagine Brother Orms coming. Huh? He does that now. I heard him whining this morning because his wife parked too far away or something. I heard her say, "By the gym." And the next thing I know, she said, "Because you need to exercise." So I don't know what that. But I'm just saying to you tonight, don't forget that it was God that gave you that spouse. Don't forget it was God that gave you that baby. Don't forget it was God that gave you that home. Don't forget it was God that gave you that job. And then all of a sudden, you don't have time for God. "Well, I have my worship at home." Christ died for the local church. He didn't die for your couch. Amen. He didn't die for a blog. He died for the local church. Amen. Faithful unto death. Beware that you don't fall for some false teaching. Beware that you don't live a fake life. Beware that you don't forget God once He has opened those doors for you in your life. I want you to be faithful unto death. It's not something tonight that we're going to make a commitment. "Let's go tonight. I'm just telling you, God, I'm faithful." We ought to every day of our life say, "Help me to be faithful unto death." But it's every day of our life we have to beware.